This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Well, hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and the topic of today's show are five medical tests that can help keep us well. I actually chose this topic because I really am a firm believer that when it comes to preventing illness, even though I deal with it from a psychological standpoint as a medical intuitive, the best way to prevent illness is to be able to get those yearly diagnostic tests that are going to really be an indicator and a benchmark, as I call it, or guideline, whatever you'd like to call it, that basically is telling us how effectively our body is functioning. And while these five tests that I'm going to be discussing today, they're not necessarily considered some of those routine yearly annual screenings that we get, but they're important tests because they're going to let us really know where the state of our body is and then if we're at risk for certain illnesses. So what I've found is in my own usage of these different tests, and I do have to ask my doctor when I go in for the test to add these other tests to it, and sometimes I get a little bit of resistance, very honestly, because they say, well, it's not normal, we're not sure whether insurance is going to cover it, how that's going to work. And I said, well, you know, what can we do to be creative about it? And we always end up running these tests. And what it does is it just gives me, again, this overall picture of where my health is. And so what it does is if I find that any of the levels are elevated, then I can go in and do the necessary, take the necessary steps that are going to help me prevent this from happening. For example, I tend to be prone to chronic inflammation, and I can handle that a lot by movement, not necessarily exercise, but just movement, not in that sedentary lifestyle, which is so much tied to my writing and so forth, but things that I can do for food, things that I can do with that movement aspect of it, the importance of rest. So there's a lot of things that I've been able to learn from the tests themselves, especially that inflammatory test, to be able to tell me that these are things I need to be mindful of because my particular body has a predisposition for this, and I just don't want to experience a lot of the illnesses that are associated with inflammation. I'm going to be sharing some of those as well. In addition to talking about this medical testing, I'm going to be taking your calls today. So if you have a question for me about your health, or you'd like to ask about the topic or really anything else that's going on, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good in United States and Canada. And then, of course, international callers as well. Call 877-230-3062. Only thing is that you have to dial that international calling code. I'd also like to invite you to my free Your Health teleclass. It's going to be happening on Thursday, May 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. The topic of this month's teleclass is on tinnitus. That's the ringing in the ear. It can be ringing, roaring, buzzing, humming, chirping, whistling, and even the hissing sound in the ears. And if, interestingly enough, many times tinnitus really doesn't have to do with the ears. In some cases, it does. But what we've learned is that tinnitus is really what we call now a head noise or brain noise, and I'm going to be talking about that. Tinnitus affects over 50 million adults in the United States, with over 12 million of those adults actually going to a specialist and checking what may be the cause or the condition behind tinnitus, or whether it's an age-related process, because, again, tinnitus doesn't mean that there's going to be hearing loss, but what it is it's an indicator that there may potentially be hearing loss in the future. Some of the conditions that I'm going to be sharing that are responsible for tinnitus is TMJ, high blood pressure, diabetes, Meniere's disease, and even that potential hearing loss that comes with age. During the 60-minute teleclass, what I always do is I look at the topic, the illness that I'm going to be working with. In this case, tinnitus is really not considered an illness, but more of a disorder. And what I do is I look at it clinically, offering a general description of it, symptomology of it, and some of the causes. And then I do what I love doing the most as a medical intuitive, is expanding that perception, and then looking at some of the hidden psychological meanings behind it. Also, the how it looks in the energy field, since I'm able to see the human energy system and all the dynamics of the aura, how it maps in the chakras. That's always very helpful, I've found, for anybody who does chakra balancing or energy workers. And then also I'm going to be offering a variety of alternative choices that are effective in treating tinnitus, and something that I'm going to be adding on this particular teleclass because of this particular topic is I'm going to be looking at the metaphysical hidden meanings behind tinnitus and sharing some of the things that I've learned as a medical intuitive contribute in that aspect of that, you know, using intuition and trusting it. So I'm going to be a little bit of sneak preview there. I'm going to be talking about that as well. So if you or a loved one or a friend suffers from tinnitus, then please join me. Again, that's May 24th at 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. You can register online at my website, www.ritberger.com. You can go to the What's New section and just click on it and register right then there. The teleclass is free if you listen to it live. And then following the teleclass, I will be offering an audio download of the teleclass itself and then also a purchasable PDF on it. So let me switch gears now and go in and actually start talking about the medical test itself and the purpose of it, because I have so many clients that I work with that really are very anti-doctor. They really just don't go that route, and that's something that certainly I honor and needs to be honored. But one of the things when it comes to really looking at the long-term health of your physical body, then the purpose of medical testing is that it establishes, again, that benchmark or that guidelines, and it gives you a baseline of where your current health is right now. That's very important as we develop different illnesses or syndromes or disorders as we get into that aging process. And when I say aging, I mean, it sounds like I'm talking about, you know, people that are 70 and beyond. I'm getting close to, well, I'm not there, but it's enough that that's really used to be very old to me, not as old right now. But a lot of the things that I share as a medical intuitive really apply to a lot of young people now. We're seeing an increase such as diabetes in young people. And that's one of the tests I'm going to be talking about. So again, it gives you a current state of where your health is. And then also it's letting you know the important things that you can do to anticipate. Get rid of that tickle there. Excuse me, that you can anticipate and work with the changes that are going to be naturally occurring in your body over the next year. And again, I really suggest that if even if you are anti-medicine, that you do look at working with a naturopath, somebody that can offer these different type of testing for you and be able to give you that benchmark that you're looking for. Medical tests have a variety of uses. Frequently, when we do medical testing, what we're really doing in this case of working with a doctor, is that we actually use the medical testing to diagnose an illness. It really cuts through all of the symptomology associated with illnesses and gets right down to the core and can help us in that diagnostic process. Other times, medical testing is using to monitor how an illness is actually responding to treatment. And then there's other times that what we're doing, as we're talking about today, is using that medical testing as screening for a potential problem. The five medical tests that are being used, number one, first and foremost, that I always suggest, it is in some cases, in some areas, actually becoming a standard part of the testing process. But if it isn't and you're going to be having your annual test, I'd like you to ask for it. It's called the CRP test or the C-reactive protein test. It's a simple blood test that measures the amount of inflammation in the body. And for myself and for other people that suffer from chronic inflammation, what that can do is it can potentially turn into heart disease. But one of the things that I've experienced is joint pain, muscle pain, and then for some people, even nerve problems. So when it comes to really looking and forecasting your future as far as if you're going to get in and understand how that immune system is really reacting and responding in your body, I always think of the C-reactive protein test as being kind of like that crystal ball that helps us look into the future of our physical body. And one of the wonderful things about an elevated CRP level is that it also is something that we can really change by just doing a little bit of movement or a little bit of exercise. Modest weight loss, that doesn't mean that we have to lose a tremendous amount of weight, and especially rapidly. We can do that couple of pounds a week and so forth, and something that's gentle, not drastic changes. Even taking a multivitamin and eating diets that are rich in fruits and vegetables. And then in many cases, working with doctors, they will actually prescribe a low dosage of aspirin in order to be able to deal with C-reactive protein. One of the things that the test shows is that people who have really high elevated levels of the C-reactive protein in their body, that it's been shown to precede and predict heart attack, stroke, colon cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, Alzheimer's disease, aneurysms, abnormal heart rhythms, and even macular degeneration, which is one of the leading causes of blindness. So again, very, very important. And because it's a marker of showing us how our immune system is really functioning and whether it's functioning the way it's designed or is it being hyperactive, where it's basically always in a chronic state of overreactiveness, and that creates that inflammation issue. And then the other thing is that C-reactive protein in the elevation impacts cholesterol and then also can lead to a lot of the scarring and so forth that happens in the arteries themselves. The second medical test that can help keep us well is checking the vitamin D level. A lot of controversy really started over this vitamin D testing. We used to be much more outdoors, much more active, and that was way before sunscreen itself. But what we're finding is if we have a deficiency in vitamin D, then we're not going to be able to really utilize the calcium that the body produces in a way that it's going to keep our bone and skeletal structure strong, so that vitamin D is tied into calcium deficiency, which could be osteopenia or osteoporosis. The reason, again, is for those healthy bones. And then also it plays a very important role in how the immune system works and how the immune system really can, in combination with the vitamin D level being normal, and then working with the immune system, is that it has found to be research proven that it can be a great prevention for breast cancer and even prostate cancer. Now, vitamin D is known as that sunshine vitamin because our skin really produces the adequate amount that we need when we're out in the sun. However, when the pH factors of sunscreens block out the ability for the sun to really reach the skin and for the skin to absorb the sun rays, then we don't get the full benefit or any benefit, especially some of the sunscreens that are being used now are 100 in their numerical value. When we do that, it's blocking out all rays from getting onto the skin, and as a result, the skin can't produce the vitamin D that it naturally does. So in that particular case, then what we are looking to do is going in and taking a vitamin D supplement. Now, vitamin D ranges, it's kind of a composite of things. Vitamin D1 is important, but the real important vitamin D that we need is the vitamin D3, because again, that's the one that really helps with the calcium absorption and then keeps the skeletal structure as normal as it needs to be. This vitamin D level can also be tested through a blood test as well. Now, the third important test is one that, especially if you suffer from chronic indigestion issues, maybe stomach irritation, even having ulcers, maybe you have GERD, reflux issues, then also irritable bowel. This test is very, very important, especially if you have a predisposition for those illnesses, and that's the H. pylori test. And what this test is, it really is checking that bacteria and seeing how that bacteria is affecting the stomach itself. This bacteria has been linked to stomach cancer, heartburn, indigestion, ulcers, stomach pain, and even tied to eye disorders. And I always say that the third chakra is the chakra that basically is our insight into our higher self, and then that physical aspect of it. And then the sixth chakra of the eyes is where our higher self is able to bring in that full perspective, give us a bigger picture. And that's one of the reasons I found as a medical intuitive, it's actually tied to that stomach, tied to the H. pylori. So that's why we get the eye disorders associated with it. H. pylori is a host contaminated foods. And what it is that's primarily where we will get H. pylori. And what you can do is you can be exposed to it. It's a contaminant, usually in a food product. And what it does is it gets into the stomach and it causes the irritation. There are actual things you can do. Antibiotics can work and acids do work very effectively for it. But the most important thing is once you get it, to get rid of it and then to become very mindful of your stomach and how you deal with foods and the type of foods that you eat, because it is not uncommon for H. pylori to resurface once you've actually experienced it. So again, going in and looking at those three tests, where the C-reactive protein, the vitamin D, seeing where those levels are, and then also the H. pylori. And then what will happen is with doing these three tests, it's going to give you, again, a good solid benchmark to see how your body is functioning. I'm going to be talking more about these different tests and so forth, but what I want to do now is I want to jump right in, and let's go in and take a couple of calls. I love doing that, so let's jump in and take Dawn. Hi, Dawn. How can I help you?
Hello?
Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Well, last year I was diagnosed with some neurological problems, some lesions, and a large cyst. And last month, I was diagnosed with polycythemia. They're not really sure what's causing the polycythemia. I think the problems are related, but I'm not sure how to go about finding out what I should do. Where should I concentrate my effort?
They are related, so good job as a medical intuitive that you are. Trying to get doctors to understand how they're connected is the challenge that you have, because the process is they want to treat one or the other, and they don't see that particular connection. In order to be able to give your body the direction that it needs and the emphasis that you need on establishing the balance in your body, is I would actually go in and address the blood disease itself. And there's one thing, and when they gave you that diagnosis, honey, was there any question around it? I keep picking up that I think they're on the right track. It may very well be the right diagnosis, but it doesn't feel like they really have grabbed onto it to know exactly what it is. Was there any kind of question around it?
They weren't completely sure. They think it's secondary, but they have not found a secondary cause. I don't have the mutation for primary. And I was right on the edge of being diagnosed with it or just wanting to watch.
Right, right. Okay, well, thank you for that, because I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, I can't get it. Why, yes, this is it. Let's tackle it that direction and everything. And that could be part of the dilemma as well. So let me ask a question. What are some of the things that they're suggesting? Do they want to take that wait and see right now, especially if they think it's secondary?
I'm going in for another sleep study. I have a sleep doctor who says that my oxygen was under control when I was asleep, but I didn't completely trust him, so I've chosen a new doctor.
Good.
And, yes, other than that, I'm not sure what they're going to recommend. He wanted to see how my next sleep study came out.
Okay, good. Good direction to go. Good for following your intuition on not trusting the doctors. And when that happens, does it mean that they're really inadequate? They may be, but they're not really inadequate. It's just that we have to really be able to trust them. So that's where I would jump on it, because until we can get that under control, then what's going to happen is the immune system is going to continue to be in that hyperactive or hypervigilant state, as I call it. And what that's going to do is it's that propensity for the immune system to actually start attacking the neurological aspects of whether it's the nerves or going in and affecting the brain, which can create a lot of the lesions. So I would certainly go and start where you're starting and then get that under control. And that feels like if we can oxygenate the blood the way that it needs to, if we can get that vitality back the way it needs to, then it'll tell the immune system to basically come in and to subside being overactive. And then that way, then they can go in and tackle the neurological aspects. Have they come in and have they diagnosed you or sent you in a direction with a neurological part in the lesions?
I had an MS workup last year. Both of my parents have MS.
Right.
And I do not have lesions or antibodies. Okay. They're watching me. My prank cyst is on, it's large, and it's on my pineal gland.
Okay.
But I began to think about the spiritual implications of that, and I started to meditate and
good.
Visualize healing, and it's shrinking now.
Good.
I feel inside like I can stave this off and at least prevent any more degeneration. I think the blood problem has been going on for a long time.
I agree with you totally.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm not sure, even though it's not been diagnosed as primary, I'm not sure that's what didn't start the whole avalanche of everything else.
That was my sense also.
Mm-hmm. And so that's why it probably feels important for me for you to jump right on this and to be able to really, you know, nip that one in the bud, get it under control, do as much as you can with it. And then especially since it feels like it's been more long term than what you've been dealing with, the neurological aspect of it, is that then what we can do is we can stabilize the body, get it into that place where it functions the way that it's designed. And then as a result, then it will cause the immune system to not be as overreactive. That feels, to me, the thing that feels like that, you know, that this will do is it's going to really help stabilize the immune system. And that's, especially with a genetic predisposition with MS, the neurological predisposition, we really do have to manage the activities of that immune system and keep it healthy and supported.
Right. I've made a lot of changes in the last, especially the last 4 months or so, but...
Yeah.
Actually, over the whole last year, I felt like it was important to have an answer as to why this was happening so that
yes.
I could feel like I had a place to send my own power.
Exactly.
I demanded the MRI, essentially, because my sleep doctor did not believe me that I had
right.
a neurological issue that I needed to deal with, but that kind of sent me in the right direction for finding doctors who would yep. listen to me.
Yep. Well, and a lot of that is this is all part of, it feels like you had a spiritual awakening about 2.5 years ago where it was just like this big old light bulb went off inside of you. And mm-hmm. from that day forward, you have been taking a lot of baby steps, very consistent, which is a wonderful way to do it. Baby steps into finding your voice, believing in yourself, trusting your intuition, allowing that third chakra, that seventh chakra to come together energetically where it can open your intuition up more, where you're not as susceptible or as vulnerable to somebody saying to you, no, that's not what it is, and then you withdrawing. You have that curiosity that says, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm going to come forward, find my voice. I'm going to explore. So again, all of what you're experiencing, I believe, again, the predisposition, especially knowing the neurological history now, the predisposition was always there, and I think that it just took this awakening for you to realize how much control you have over your life and your health. Can you go back 2.5 years with me, sweetie? That would have put it, let's see, 2008, would have been probably the end, for some reason it feels like the end of 2009. Did something happen then?
I made a decision to really minimize contact with my family.
Okay.
And as soon as that happened, I lost a lot of weight, and I started to sort of lose the desire to please everyone around me.
Right, right. Well, you shed all those old identities that were basically holding you down and blocking you. And in my world as a medical intuitive, neurological breakdown is literally the breakdown of our own identity to the point where we just need to find ourselves again.
Right. I felt like I turned my back on my intuition because I didn't want to see all of the things that were happening.
Right.
And that it's been healthier for me to say that, you know, some aspects of my relationships with people may be hopeless, but I don't think I'm hopeless or my health
no,
is hopeless.
No, not at all.
I think I can recover it. I'm just trying to figure out how to do that.
Yeah. Well, I would start with the getting enough oxygen into the blood so you can get enough oxygen into the brain and into the cells so they can all restore their vitality and their health in the way that that needs to be. That feels like it's, you know, it's kind of like you lost your identity in my world again as a medical intuitive. When we do that, then we lose kind of our life force in many, many ways where we get pulled in so many different directions. And blood to me is a life force.
I went back to school 2.5 years ago. I didn't think of that, to get another degree. And I started working on a nursing degree, which really renewed my sense of power also.
Exactly, exactly. And see now, and to validate you and so forth, all of the things that you did when you took that step, and it does feel like it was an epiphany for me when I touch it energetically, all the things that you've been methodically, instead, one of the wonderful things about you, Dawn, is that you don't jump out of an airplane and then realize you didn't pack the parachute right. What you do is you're a very methodical person. And in that methodology, it's given you a chance to take a baby step, become strong in yourself, take another baby step, become strong in yourself, take a baby step, go, you know what? Is that a step of the old patterns? Draw back, take a step in the right direction. So everything that you're doing, from the nursing to understanding where you are to speaking your truth, asking your questions, all of the different things, and having enough knowledge base to not just accept what is said to you, all of those things are literally at part of that preventative, and then they're going to help restore your body. What you're dealing with, sweetie, especially from the blood aspect of it, like you said, has been there for a long time. It isn't that you were being punished. It just came to the surface so you can deal with it, take control, and that's where I would start.
Okay, thank you very much.
You are most welcome. Thank you so much for listening to the show. All right, what I want to do is I want to take a quick commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk more about the other medical tests that are so important to preventing illness and then also taking your calls. So stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back. If you're just joining me today, I'm discussing medical testing and how important it really is to be able to help us understand the actual where our body is at the time on a yearly basis, because I really believe in annual screening, and then also in helping us really anticipate or even prevent different illnesses from occurring. So I've been talking about the importance of having the C-reactive protein test, which is done by a simple blood work. Also, the vitamin D test to be sure that we have enough vitamin D so we can really have that calcium absorbed the way that it needs to keep our bones strong. That's also through a blood test. And then the third test that I talked about was H. pylori. And when I work with alternative practitioners, a lot of time H. pylori can actually be detected in saliva testing. Testing varies from kind of doctor to doctor or alternative therapy, therapist to another, professional to another. So those are some things I'm going to be talking more about. The other two tests that I think are very, very important for us. Again, it's not to influence you to say you need to do this and not trying to go that route, but to let you know that even if you don't like going to doctors, these tests are really very important. And then, of course, your annual lipid test and so forth. And one of the things that that also is that you can ask about your thyroid testing. That isn't something that they normally do either. And that's not a test that I actually put into this show today, but it is one that is very, very important. I am going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health or about today's topic, then you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for the callers in the U.S. and Canada and then also international callers. I also just put up on my website, I'm going to be offering a brand new class, Your Personality, Your Health, in Reno, Nevada on Saturday, June 9th, as well as an evening of readings on Friday, June 8th. In the class, Your Personality, Your Health, I'm going to be talking about the importance of personality and how it really increases the susceptibility to specific illnesses. And part of my research over the last 30 years is to be able to look at personality and to be able to look at a mapping process within the physical body that really, based on personality neurology, increases the susceptibility to maybe getting illnesses in the respiratory area or in the stomach area or the lower back area, or reproductive organs. So, again, a lot of my research in personality, and that's really where I started all of this, long before I had that near-death experience in 1981, is that I really got involved in personality behavioral psychology because I was interested in what makes us tick, but not so much just from our learned behavior, but if there was a neurological connection between personality, how we make decisions, gather information, and then how it impacts the physical body. So some of the topics that I'm going to be covering in that particular class is the brain, body, and mind connection, the roles, personality's role in sculpting the functioning of the brain, the common factors that are associated with illness, why some personalities are more susceptible to illness and to specific kind of illnesses than others, the curative powers that are within the inherent part or the traits of personality, and how you can actually use that personality to be able to come in and to create a disease-resistant personality. That's one of the things that I'm going to be doing is how can you learn about yourself? You'll actually discover your personality color. And then we're going to learn about how you can use that personality and that neurology associated with it in order to create this resistant disease-resistant or illness-resistant personality. If you'd like more information on this class or you'd like to register, you can go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and then click on the Your Personality, Your Health image that's on the right-hand side of my homepage or in the What's New section, and voila, you can get all the information that on the class itself and the cost and so forth, and you can actually book online. A lot of this information that I'm going to be sharing was from my original book that was published by Hay House, Your Personality, Your Health, and that's available through either Amazon.com or HayHouse.com. One of the other things I'm so excited about that really that book that I wrote long time ago, it was my first book that was actually released in 1999. I can't believe it's been that long. I've actually gone in and updated because I'm going to be sharing some of the latest neuroscience that's brain research and helping us understand how this brain works and why does it react the way that it does to our experiences and memories. So again, I'm very, very excited on teaching. And I hope that if you are anywhere in the Reno, Nevada area, that you will join me. Also, I'm going to be doing that evening of readings on June 8th. And in the evening of readings, the way that it always starts out is that I talk about the energy attunements and how those attunements are going to actually be affecting our body. We did come off of an annular solar eclipse this last weekend on Sunday. And then what that does is the barometric pressure associated with that also changes the vibrational frequency of the body. And one of the things that I'm finding that's going on right now is where there's a lot of tension between that third and sixth chakra. We get caught kind of in a rock and a hard place, as I refer to it, is do we follow our intuition, which I always say yes, or do we follow what's tried and true? While it can keep us safe, it doesn't always move us forward in our own personal growth. So that's kind of how I start the evenings out when I do my evenings of reading. And then what I do is we draw names from the participants, and I answer as many questions as I can within that limited period of time and try to do share as much information to be able to help people. So again, if you'd like information on the evening of readings, or you would like to learn more about your personality, your health class, then just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then also, if you have a call, question for me, 877-230-3062. So let me go on, and I want to talk a little bit more about these other two medical tests that I found are really very important as far as getting that benchmark for where the body is. One of them, the fourth one, is something called an aspirin check. Aspirin is shown to be a powerful preventative measure for people who are at risk of heart disease, stroke, and colon cancer. However, it's not clear what that optimal dosage is. One of the things is it used to be that it was a full 325 milligram of aspirin. A lot of people started having digestive issues, bleeding in their stomach and everything, and so now what we find is that the standard that is offered from aspirin therapy is that 81 milligram. But again, every person's body is very different. So in this aspirin test, what it does is it really determines the effectiveness of the daily aspirin to be sure that the individual dosage is doing what it's supposed to do. And now, how can we find that out? Is that we can do it with a simple blood test that can be done by a doctor. It can actually be ordered online. But the other thing that you can do is if you are on aspirin therapy and because of the predisposition for heart disease or potential for stroke, then a C-reactive protein test can also show that the aspirin therapy is working. So you can either get an aspirin check or you can go in and get a C-reactive protein, because that's one of the things that I find is very often prescribed by doctors is getting on that 81 milligram of aspirin. Also, where new research is showing that that low dosage aspirin also, because of the inflammation connection, can be very instrumental in helping people prevent breast cancer and then also prostate cancer. Now, the fifth and final test is this insulin test. This is the type 2 diabetes test, and what it's really looking for is it's looking for an excess amount of insulin in the blood itself in response to eating. Now, one of the things that naturally occurs when you go in for your annual blood work is they will do an insulin test checking for type 2 diabetes, looking for the sugar in the blood itself. But this particular test that I'm talking about, while it does measure the glucose, and that's long been the standard, this actually identifies the risk of diabetes long before the symptoms even emerge. And I always feel that it's important for this particular medical test to be done, especially if you have a genetic history of diabetes in your family. In this particular test, usually what's done is blood is drawn twice after fasting and then 2 hours after drinking a glucose drink. The good news of this test is that it indicates that if you're at a higher risk for diabetes, and that can, again, the good news is it can help you decide what changes are necessary for you to make in order for you to ensure that type 2 diabetes doesn't become part of your body's function or change your lifestyle at all. So there's things that you can do right off the bat that you can, in preparation for this testing, or if you have a predisposition for type 2 diabetes, or if you're postmenopausal, or if you're carrying extra weight, both male and female, then what you can do is you can start changing those different taking those different steps right now by changing your diet. And what that is eliminating the intake of sugar. There's a reason for that. Throws pH off. It's very, very acidic. That causes the immune system to become overreactive, increases inflammation, and can be a precursor for chronic inflammation. And then also those cancer cells that we produce every day, once they get this overabundance of glucose, then they can actually become abnormal, and then they can be a precursor for cancer itself. And one of the things with the doctors that I've worked with and read in many, many different medical articles is that cancer cannot survive in a body that is not fed by sugar. So one of the things we do is just stop feeding it sugar. And then what happens is the cancer cells live their normal life, which is a very short cycle. They starve to death and basically they die. The other thing we can do is the refined grains. This is the processed grains. We really, our diet in the United States is so heavily laden with with processed foods that's also a precursor for diabetes. Also eating simple carbohydrates that cause the insulin levels, glycemic index to spike, can also be responsible for it. So there are some simple things that we can do. And one of the things is that so much with the sodas and everything that we're consuming is, if you can remember that one can of soda has 17 teaspoons of sugar in it, while you may be eliminating sugar in other parts of your life, please do be mindful of corn fructose and then also the amount of sugar that you're consuming. A lot of times where we're not even eating really a lot of sugar, but we're actually drinking a lot of it. So those are the five different tests. And what you can do is you can find out more about these tests by going online and Google any of them and then find out more about it. And if you do have a predisposition, maybe you have a lot of stomach issues, maybe this next year when you have your annual test done, maybe you'll want to ask about the potential for a H. pylori test. So again, dialogue with your doctor, your healthcare professional, or alternative professional, and they can really help you decide which way is the best way to go. All right, well, let me jump in. I want to take a couple more calls. Hi, Katie from Sacramento. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi, Carol. Hi, and great to talk to you.
You too.
I have a question about getting allergy testing for metals.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have a lot of dental work coming up, and including I've been advised to get some teeth extracted and to get implants, but I know that I have some allergies to metal based on jewelry, but I have never done testing, and I'm looking into testing. The doctors and dentists don't know anything about it, and I was just wondering if you had any insights. You know, this is testing like the blood testing I'm looking at, for example, is
instead of like
idea.
The hair follicle or anything like that, because I know the hair follicle testing is effective, but with what you're dealing with, blood work is probably best, sweetie.
Okay. And I don't really know that much about it except for what I've read online, you know?
Right.
And so,
are you working with a doctor? Are you going to be working with a naturopath? Who are you going to be working with to see about the testing?
I don't know. That's actually what I was looking into, because I guess I need to work with somebody, and I was hoping to work with the dentist, but he doesn't really know anything about it, so I'm not sure if I should just work with somebody who's already, you know, knowledgeable
right.
in this stuff. So.
Well, one of the things that I always encourage people to look into working with a naturopath. And that's one way to go. Then also what you might do, and I'm not trying to get your dentist out of a job or anything, but you might work with a dentist that is familiar with this. You might do a little bit of research to find out, you know, what their background is. Just right now it just feels like you just need a lot of information. Allergy mm-hmm. testing would be something that would be very, very much of value to you from the standpoint of knowing what metals, because that's going to really determine how your body's going to react and if you're going to go to all this work, if it's really going to work or if it's going to create other problems.
Mm-hmm.
So I would look at doing that allergy testing. When you said that you were looking at implants, I need to tell you, I really got kind of a trigger, as I call it, in me. And from the standpoint that, I'm going to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that's the best route for you to go. And the reason for that is your body feels like it's been overburdened with so much that's been going on psychologically. You feel like you've been under a lot of stress. Your immune system feels like it's on the tired side. Going in and doing something invasive like that just right now just doesn't feel like that would be the best call to me as I'm touching you. It's not saying don't do it, sweetie. It's just I keep wanting to step back and saying, okay, let's gather some information. Let's get some testing done. Let's find out what's going on. What kind of metal are they going to be using? start working on your immune system to start building it up to the point where it can support what you're doing and not go into that reactive state that's going to compound the problem or allow infection to occur. So there just feels like there's a lot of kind of loose ends to me that I would encourage you to look into. And but I would go in and I would start with a naturopath and see if you can find someone. I know that you're in the Sacramento area. We do have several good naturopaths in the area, connecting with them and seeing if they could do some blood work to just get you started. They I found in my work that they're knowledgeable about this. A lot of times doctors aren't, or to send us to the right people or to do the things. Does that make sense to you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the other thing is that in one of the teeth where they're thinking about doing the implant and that removal, have you had an abscess or infection in that tooth?
Is it a front tooth? Because there's a, I had an injury or something. They don't know what happened to a front tooth, and it needs to be removed. It died. I had a root canal.
Yeah, it died.
Said there's an abscess, but I also have some back molars that have mysteriously just gone bad. We don't really know what's happened exactly, and some of them have had root canals, and some of them haven't, and so I'm not sure which one you're talking about, but there might be more than one. There's one abscess.
Yeah. Yeah, and again, I went in. I could pick up the abscess. I could pick up still some infection that's going on, some sensitivity. It may not be where you're actually getting the infection, but I've got enough sensitivity to know that I've got something going on in the stomach, and I've got something going on with the immune system.
Okay.
So stomach. Let's go there. Have you been having? It's really vague, so let me go in and see about this. Do you feel like your stomach gets sour every so often? Can you taste that in your mouth at all? Have you noticed any difference in your taste in your mouth?
Yeah, I take Pepsi twice a day for the last few years.
Okay.
And I want to get off of that.
When you work with someone while you're kind of, I hate to compound it, but I think that this is really important thing, is that what you might want to do is when you work with someone, we want to get your body very alkaline. A lot of acidity, I think that's a lot of what I'm picking up. The pH is off, you're acidic. That's causing some overreaction in your immune system. It's actually impacting your gums in particular. Those are the things that I'm picking up. So if you could look at, maybe do a little research on alkaline-based foods, maybe you'll want to look at doing a little bit of maybe baking soda and water, just not a lot, or pure healthy apple cider vinegar, not the real distilled type and everything. All of those things feel like that you can start this process even happening and healing quicker by doing that and then finding out and getting the other information.
Okay.
The tooth in the front, yes, this was an injury, but the thing is there's a predisposition for mm-hmm. the roots of your teeth to be attacked and for them mm-hmm. to die, and that's what we need to find out what it is. And that, honestly, sweetie, doesn't feel like it's tied to the fillings or the metal in your mouth. It feels like we've got something in the immune system that we could jump on, get the information, then you'd be in a better position to be able to make the decisions you need to.
Okay. And that makes sense, and I just want to add that mm-hmm. I'm kind of a little bit in crisis mode over it because I've been told I need to jump on this and make the decisions ASAP, and knowing I kind of feel you're right on target with everything you've just described,
right.
So I feel like I'm in a bind, like, uh-oh, which way do I go, because I have to make a decision, and I don't feel like I'm up for it. Doing work, and then I'm going to end up just losing teeth, and you know what I mean. And I feel like
we want to find out what it is. So you said, is one of the options right now an extraction?
Yeah, I need to get them extracted no matter what. But then,
yes, you do.
Am I going to get dentures? Am I going to get implants? And that's really sad.
Well, that's where we need to go afterwards. Right now, the most important thing is get the extractions, because then what that's going to do is it's going to stop this cycle of this decay, this inflammatory reaction in the gums itself. And that right now is the most important thing to do. And then as you, when that healing process, let's focus on getting the immune system. what it needs to, and then with the diet, that's the main way to work with it. And then I would do some research. Your body isn't screaming out to me, don't do an implant. It's just that right now, if you did an implant, my sense is it's going to reject it. You're going to have problems around it. It may ultimately be okay, but right now it just doesn't feel okay to me.
Okay.
The main thing is let's get those out, since those teeth are just, you know, they're taking up space and they're really creating a lot of that buildup of bacteria and infection around the teeth themselves. They've got to go.
Okay.
Does that help, sweetie?
Yes.
Okay.
It does help.
Okay, good. Okay. And then I know that there's a wonderful dentist up in Grass Valley that it is very familiar with testing and the type of using metals and getting rid of metals and everything. So you might want to, if you want to even do some research, I realize Sacramento's not that quite that far, but at least he might be a place for you to be able to start. And
So
unfortunately, I can't say his name on the air. So just go up and look at dentist, and I think he's got a nice ad that says that he's a holistic dentist and that you can you could call and probably get some information.
Okay.
So, very good, but just get those teeth out right now, sweet, okay?
Thank you,
okay.
Girl.
You are so welcome. All right, I want to jump right on. I've got just a short period of time, but let's take Mona from Colorado. Hi, sweetie.
Hello, Carol. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure. How can I help?
I am having trouble with my arms, and I would like to get a medical intuitive to look at me and see what they think is going on.
Okay. Are you referring to the weakness in them?
Weakness, and I have some pain in the shoulders, and then they feel heavy.
Yeah, we've got some neuropathy going on, sweetie, where we're getting, it feels like we're getting a pinched nerve, specifically a compressed nerve, not necessarily pinched where you're going to get an electrical shock, but we've got a compressed nerve, especially in the left arm. And what it's doing is that left arm just isn't getting that signal from the brain the way it needs to be able to lift and so forth. And it feels very heavy, and it feels the muscles themselves feel weak. When I go to the right side, my sense is that this is an old injury. I just picked that up. It's an old injury in, just in the cervical vertebrae, I want to say between three, four, and five. Maybe some whiplash, something that happened, and we've got a vertebrae that feels like it's just a little bit tweaked. It's not slipped. It's not out of alignment, but I've got some compression on the nerves, and on the right shoulder is where I'm getting that heaviness. I can't really tell where the pain is because if I look at you energetically, that pain starts right at the center, kind of the big ball in the where the neck and the shoulders come together, drop down about an inch or maybe, and I can get this big ball of pain in there, and it's radiating out is what it feels like to me.
Okay.
So yep. Are you working with a chiropractor or anybody?
I have had before. I haven't gone to him in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something I should do and that is an area that he works on when I'm in there.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, if he, you might want to go back and revisit and just see if we can get that. Does he actually manipulate the spine or work with it, working with it from an energetic standpoint, meaning is
he manipulates?
Okay. I would find in this particular case, he's very, very good. But in this particular case, I would probably see if I could find a chiropractor that does non-force chiropractic, that is just going to be able to work with the messages from the brain down into the body. For some reason, just your body said, I don't think I want my spine actually moved that much, Carol. We just need to, it's like we need to go in and refine it. So if you could find somebody that does that, then what they would do is my sense is they would take some pressure off of that. The other thing you could do, sweetie, is you could look at doing some physical therapy. It doesn't feel like that it's a big enough problem that it would be a major pain issue for you, but you might look at doing that because physical therapy will help regain and maintain some of this muscle strength that's occurring because the messages from the brain aren't getting down into the arms the way they need in order for them to have the activity and the movement.
Okay.
So the best way to say it is, I'll give you a visual because I think that always helps, is that your brain is sending in the message, right arm, lift up now. It comes down, it hits this little ball of area that I'm talking about, and it's like, little, is what it sounds like. And by the time it gets down to where it needs to, it feels like a whisper. So if we can just get that part of it, looking at it. And then also you might want to look at neuropathy and some of the symptomology of it, and that'll give you a sense of direction as well, and the things that you would be able to do. My sense is physical therapy could help you tremendously.
Okay.
But it is an old injury, sweetie. So did you fall off a bike or something when you were?
Oh, heavens. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah.
And we rode motorcycles, and we were always crashing. And
gotcha.
I have two brothers that have bad injuries from motorcycles. So, like
you
one
know?
Missing a toe and the other, it's a mess.
It sounds like you're a little bit like me, is that I forgot that I was born with a girly girl body, as I call it, and I just was doing all those things you know, guys would do, and here where I am, and then it's like, oh, my gosh. So thanks, Mona. It's great talking to you, sweetie. It's
Thank you. Really, very, very good. Carol.
Well, I'd like to just close the show very quickly with a quote from Benjamin Franklin. He said, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And that's what we've been talking about today with all the medical testing. Have a wonderful week. I'm going to see you next Wednesday morning, 10 a.m. on Contact Talk Radio. I'll see you on the radio. Light and love to all of you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com. See you soon.